When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
No.
Oh, this is
game, no.
Disaster in the making here. Completely botched at the end by the Bears. And it is over.
For me, it's been a lot, man. This isn't easy. And for sure, you know, for me, a lot of individual mental battles you go through in your head. I had a good talk with my dad the other day about, you know, kind of perspectives moving forward. And, you know, at this point, you know, he had a great thing that he said to me. It's like, as dark as this might seem in the moment right now, you know, you got to have perspective as to what you get to do. And, you know, he was saying, you know, he'd give anything to go back and just to play one more game and to be in the shape that I'm in right now. And to go out and play football. And I think that's kind of the perspective that I want to have going forward for these last four.
I mean, it's a real thing that we face. I feel like, you know, you invest so much into this. This is your livelihood. This is everything, man. So each loss, you take it, at least I do. You know, I take it to heart, and normally it takes me a little bit to kind of get over that in a way, just because, you know, I want to play so well here. I want to, you know, I want to win here, and you definitely have to continue to check in with yourself, man. And
the official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Very, very weird sports day today. Bill Belichick, according to ESPN, is finalizing a deal to become the new head coach at North Carolina. Garrett Crochet gets traded. We're going to spend some time in this hour talking a little bit about that as well.
And the Cubs are dancing with the Astros about Kyle Tucker in trade conversations, while Cody Bellinger's name floats towards the Yankees in what has been a fascinating winter meeting so far for MLB.
And we are glad that you are hanging out with us. Shane has returned.
I'm back.
That is impressive.
I knew if I stayed longer, I just want to get into the holiday spirit,
and
have a couple drinks.
This is the thing that you don't understand about me and us. When we tell you to stay away, it's because we want you to actually have a good time.
Lawrence, like, I have a good time here. I've got 3 weeks away coming up in a few
days.
I don't need to stay there. I'm going to go out for the after party, get hammered.
We know that there's, you know, there's...
where is the after party?
Yeah, we don't know yet. We don't know yet. Oh, okay. I'm waiting for a location.
It's got to be at Highline.
Waiting for the 20.
It's got to be at the Highline.
But the thing is like, look, we understand that when producers don't make a lot of money, you should eat and drink all of their money.
Oh, no, dude, I'm loaded. Millions.
I
got a new contract, yeah, last year. Yeah.
Give me a loan?
Got a PJ.
Really?
Yeah.
It's got Pearl Jam on speed dial.
On speed dial?
No, that was fun. I'm sorry the connection wasn't as good as it should have been.
I thought it was incredibly inefficient to take the private jet over to Millennium
Park. Well, it was quick. It was quick. As soon as we got up in the air, we landed.
Yeah, but there's just that little airstrip still at Northerly Island. A little bit of Biggs Field left over for Shane's private jet.
That's it.
Yeah, good for Odyssey. Good old 3 p.m. holiday party on a Wednesday.
Nothing says festivity like 10 minutes of ice skating.
That was it. One
did
session.
Did anyone skate?
Yeah, everyone did. Except for me.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, Shane.
Everyone skated.
That's too bad.
Damn Adam Rittenberg. If he didn't move, I could have skated.
Yeah, that's true. But it turns out, thank goodness he moved to the time that he was, because then the story is pretty much broken now.
Yeah, we were able to discuss the possibilities and the parameters, and then now it's a done deal.
Yep. Something to talk about and track on tomorrow's show as well. Look, you heard Cole Kmet inside of that piece that we came back with. You heard him being sad. If you listen to this show, Jalen was sad on Monday.
Oh, dude, Jalen was broken.
And Talking about
a new coaching staff eventually, talking about guys going for self and getting good tape out there over the
playing
course of the
last
month.
Playing for the back
month.
Of the jersey?
Yeah, that's not exactly how it's supposed to work.
He said it.
Yeah, he did.
And you've heard all of our Bears peeps. You've heard Matt Bowen be like, there's a lot of things they could be doing better. Mm. You've heard Lance Briggs being like, I would like to help. There are things I could add that I could help. Yeah. I'd love to talk with fans about this because we have a theory, and we'll see if you believe in that theory. Phone number is 312-644-6767. Speaks, is it possible that this season feels the way that it does because of the high that was happening in August and early September?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Because this was supposed to be what was finally different. And I know we've had this before, but this time, this quarterback, this system, this GM, this time, this incredible nest for the rookie quarterback, for the generational talent, this was supposed to be the time when it wasn't going to be same old Bears. It wasn't going to be that way. And I was feeling, personally, I can tell you that I was feeling so excited because I often get positive and I get optimistic and I often find myself there with logic behind me. Sometimes I find myself there with a little bit of delusion behind me. I can admit that. I'm self-aware. But this time, it really felt sensible to be logically optimistic about this Bears thing. And then to have it blow up this ugly, this bad, has personally broken my Bears optimistic spirit almost completely.
Well, I also feel bad that you are partnered with me. Because I am very skeptical, leaning towards cynical on a lot of things NFL and a lot of things Bears. And so I hear you and I see you and I'm like, man, my guy Speaks is excited. Like, he's excited about all this. And you're like,
yeah, but you get excited though.
I do.
Too.
I love the game.
You love the game. You love good football and you love a happy town when the Bears are good, man.
There's nothing I will say that is something that's frustrated me, Speaks, where there's nothing like a Bears Monday when the Bears win.
Oh, man. Yeah, of course.
I look forward to those shows because it's just...
I look forward to talking to the doorman.
Yes.
Look forward to talking to the cabbie and the security guy.
The city just...
Oh, it lights up.
There's something about it. Like, the city itself becomes a character in this, and it becomes so fun. And now, like... The way that this season has gone, like specifically the 2024 season, where things started getting bad as we got closer to it getting dark at 4:30. And so like all of this stuff kept happening and then like the game would be over and you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Winter's here now.
Oh, Lawrence, when you think back on the weeks that we progressively got more and more aware of how messed up it was. And we had to laugh. The number of times we had to laugh when we heard a player breaking bad on coaches in ways that we didn't imagine possible. When we heard about the first 15 not being a thing that the offensive coordinator believed in. Just dumbfounded along the way. And for me, it all cycles back to this next hire for head coach, and how I felt last time. I mean, It's not every time is it supposed to be something that you can cling to the learned cynicism and just hold on to it and say they're going to screw it up. And I fought against it last time. I even fought against it in the offseason. And I'm having trouble fighting against it now. And my soul wants to fight against it now. But you asked the other day, was it you or was it in transition? Somebody said, what percentage chance do you give the Bears to get this head coaching hire right? Because the head coaching hire has to be done right.
And you said 6%, right?
6%, man. It's like I had a little offhand comment to Leisure today that slipped out of my mouth. And I realized I said, I hate everything. I think I said, hey, I hate everything. I don't even remember what the context was. But this Bears thing this year has really damaged my optimism from a sports perspective, and it sucks.
It feels like an important time to talk a little bit about Nikki Giovanni. My favorite quote from her, she passed away a couple days ago. Optimism is a form of rebellion.
I love that.
Yeah. You can hold on to that for a little bit.
Well, I love it. Optimism is a form of rebellion. And also, me and our mutual managerial interview target, Joe Madden, used to talk about optimism as a practical choice because you function better when you're optimistic. But it's hard right now.
It is.
It's damn near impossible. It's 6% possible for me from a Bears perspective.
We got a little bit of time, and if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you because we're talking to you, but we'd love to hear from you on this particular subject. Why does it hurt so bad? We have our theory, and if you agree with it, that's fine. If you have another theory that explains it, we would like to hear it. 312-644-6767. Why does this hurt so bad? Why does this feel maybe even a little different, even though a lot of the things are similar? A lot of things are the same when you go to, like, this has been the way that Bears football has been. This feels a little different. It's a little rougher.
Why does my heart feel so bad? Why?
These are the questions. Because it's man.
Texter says, quote, no number one quarterback pick has ever been drafted to a team as good as the Bears are now, unquote. Said every national draft expert, said every NFL analyst, said us as hosts on this show, on this station. It seemed unprecedented.
I do remember, and I'm shout out to our colleague, Layla Rahimi. I remember Layla saying, like, everyone be careful. This is not fair to put everything on Caleb. And I swear, as the season has gone on, that feels exactly what they did. It feels like they were like, oh, he'll just fix everything. Like, we'll finally get that quarterback thing that everyone's been hoping that we get. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of put everything on him.
Yeah.
And it feels awful.
He was supposed to just be able to come in and be a game manager with a good running game and a good defense. And do a little bit of the special when needed, just a little bit. And it seemed like a sensible plan, but the plan ended up being trash, I think principally because of the leadership choices, the holding on to Eberflus and the hiring of Shane Waldron. Just absolutely brutal.
It is brutal, and it stinks. It just, it's like you were talking about, where you have these days and you're just sitting there going, man, I look forward to, people think that we look forward to the days where things are bad. Like, that's when we really want to get on the air. The days when things are good is when you want to get on the air. Mm. When you want to share in that. That's where that little, that speck of the Spiegel optimism that's inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's those days where you can't wait to get in here, man.
Yeah.
Where people are happy and like, man, this is great and this feels good and all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you felt it. You felt it in England. You felt it.
Yeah. I mean, at 4-2, I felt it the day I was at the Carolina game and you were at the game the week before. We went to back-to-back wins.
Yeah, I went to the Rams game. You went to the Carolina game.
We felt it with all the conversations we had with the fans and people. You felt it on the train. I remember.
And I'll tell you, I felt that anger too in Arizona, talking to people, seeing Bears fans leave en masse.
It flipped, and it flipped ugly.
Jamal is out in Waukegan. Hey, Jamal, why does this hurt so bad?
Man, this season hurts so bad, Lawrence, because this is literally the worst season I've seen as a Bears fan. It was more fun to watch when Justin Fields was here. They didn't do as they promised, building through the trenches. They went out and they got cute, and they thought Caleb, being an amazing passer, was just going to solve those problems. And frankly, I feel Caleb's passing ability is good enough, is great, but he's not stressing defenses by using his ability to run.
So that's interesting.
At all.
Because of where Jamal was on the Justin Fields Caleb conversation, it hurts even more for him.
It's funny because when we were thinking about doing this topic, it's one of the things that I put in the doc. The Justin wars had been won.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what side, it was like, all right, it's over now. Here comes Caleb. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, man. And now you worry that they're doing to him
what they did to Justin.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not there, and I still feel like the Justin wars have been won. But
I agree.
I do respect those who are feeling that component of it, but I think it is clear that the wars have been won.
Andy, why does this hurt so bad?
Guys, it hurts so bad because I'm the idiot here. Because I'm the one that falls for these guys every single year. That's going to be better. There's going to be change, and there never is. So I got to blame myself, boys. And, you know, it's like the song from Garth Brooks. I'm too damn young to feel this damn old. I'm only 52, guys.
I love that. That's a great line. God. Thanks for giving us that.
Yeah. We are Charlie Brown. We are Charlie Brown, and the entire McCaskey family is Lucy. And we buy it every single effing time, or some of us do.
Let's go out to Derek in Bolingbrook. Derek, you're on the score. Why does this bear season feel so bad?
Because I just know that we're organizationally inept. Now it's official. Just when you thought we had a decent plan in place, right? It's almost just like you stated with Charlie Brown. It pulled the rug right under us. Yeah. I mean, you broke the team down perfectly, right? And then you get the number one pick, and we're right back to square one.
You gotta laugh.
The sardonic laugh.
We laugh so we don't cry, man.
That's, oh, man.
That was an incredible, involuntary laugh. Right,
I got to give it to the listeners of the Spiegel and Holmes show. They are delivering with this topic. This is great. 312-644-6767. Orland Park and Ken. Ken, why does this Bears season feel so bad?
People don't accept the problem. The organizations, the owners. I think Jim and Man said it best. It's a place where quarterbacks go to die. How are you going to put all this pressure on one rookie to win all the games? They did the same thing with Justin Fields. And Mike Trubisky, he got lucky his rookie year, and he thought he'd duplicate and continue to do the same thing.
Thanks, man.
Mike? Happy birthday, Mike.
Iron Mike Trubisky.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Mike. And,
you know,
it was the second year, but I know what he means.
Speaks, do you know that, like, when the Shane Waldron thing came out, as Doug would say, I felt like I was taking stupid pills, because it was one of those moments where when they started talking about the first 15, and so like everything starts spinning inside of my head, and I'm like, okay, you covered the league for a really long time. Have you ever heard that before? No. You got to be wrong on this. This must be a practice that someone has done. It's in there somewhere, Lawrence. Where is it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, I've never heard of this. And then when Stacey Dales is like, yeah, no one's ever heard of this. No one that I've talked to has ever heard of this nonsense.
Yeah.
I've been talking to coaches for years.
I mean,
one's ever done this thing before.
This is going to become scripture of how we talk about Bears dysfunction. I mean, a decade from now, people will talk about Shane Waldron not having a first 15. I think they'll talk about eight captains. They'll talk about choosing eight captains, and maybe three of them had ever been part of a real, true winning franchise.
Yep.
They're going to talk about this stuff.
309 Texas says, Hard Knocks Kool-Aid got me, and then false sense of hope winning games early against bad teams.
Yeah, man.
We get you. Jason, you're on Spiegel and Holmes. Why does this Bear season hurt so bad?
Lawrence, I'm going to tell you this
I've been a Bears fan forever. And I think all the fans out there feel it. It's year over year over year. It's Groundhog's Day. It's the movie Groundhog's Day. Perfect definition. Number one draft pick overall, we're going to ruin them. That's what we've been doing the last some odd years. We don't have the organization is a mess always. And we're going to get this wonderful quarterback in here that we're just going to absolutely destroy. And I think people are feeling that all over the town. They had hope. We had hope in Chicago. Hey, we're talking playoffs. We're talking possible Super Bowl. Yeah. And we're back to square one. That's what everyone's feeling. I'm telling you that right now.
No, I think you're right. And I'm feeling it deeply and personally. It's like, because a lot of times doing this job, frankly, can feel like like you're in the middle of an existential battle between hope and cynicism. That's the way it's felt for me since 2009.
We should rename the show that.
The existential battle.
Of hope and cynicism.
Seriously, because cynical is an easier way to do the job. Cynical is an easier way to live the job. And cynics get further, you know, in the job. And I've like kind of militantly held on to the belief system within me so many different times, and this is the first time in terms of a Bears thing. It's and the White Sox before that, truth be told, like if you're living this and you're living this stuff, to have now two franchises, and there's put the Bulls in there
or the Blackhawks, if you're Blackhawks, Sox, Bears. Oh my God.
Hello there.
Hey, Tanny. And that's why Tanny's apathetic. But seriously, I came to the conclusion on the White Sox very clearly that nothing is going to happen until he sells the team or dies. And I feel like I'm there on the Bears too, that nothing's going to happen until he sells the team or die. That's a terrible, awful, dark, cynical place to be for two of the key franchises in this city.
Speaks, when you're sitting here and you're weeks away from Caleb Williams maybe being the most sacked quarterback in the history of the NFL, it was not supposed to be this way.
No, it wasn't.
We were promised jetpacks. We still have not gotten those jetpacks. We'll take some more phone calls, and we'll also add in the news of the day on the baseball side, the Garrett Crochet trade. Stick around. Speak One Homes here with you until 6 on the Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Different ways to shape a deal, and you know, you don't want to just focus on volume, but we're fortunate in this deal to get high-end talent, and four of them. So we feel like we've got value and volume in this deal, and that's why it became very obvious that we need to make a move on this.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
We are mixing in a little White Sox with a little bit of Bears conversation. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. Garrett Crochet has been traded. We are also talking with you and trying to figure out why does it hurt so bad this Bears season.
Garrett Crochet goes to the Red Sox 8 years after Chris Sale goes to the Red Sox, and the White Sox are forced to give up on the starting pitcher with the best strikeout rate in baseball, a guy they absolutely nailed with the number 11 pick in the draft in 2020. They have to give up on him because they're terrible at everything else. And they end up with four of the top 14 Red Sox prospects, a catcher who's boosted up by being a catcher, who may be the catcher of the future, but you got a couple of those now, I think. Corey Lee gonna play? I don't know. But
I like Corey Lee.
I like Corey Lee, too. And the White Sox got an outfielder named Braden Montgomery, who I think people are going to fall in love with once they see him a little bit, but he's still a couple years away. It's a very interesting package. Some people are calling it a haul for the White Sox. It's hard to trust it when you have seen the Chris Sale haul turn into what it turned into again 8 years ago.
The prospects are suspects. You know, like, you have to be careful thinking, oh, well, this is the move that'll, you can't say that until years and years and years later if they're the group that turned it around, just like the haul that the White Sox got for Chris Sale.
But this is the only way to measure what Chris Getz could do.
And it's the White Sox' only way out.
And
it's their only way out, is that they've got to make trades. They're not going to spend, so they've got to make trades.
I'll give Chris Getz credit for being aggressive and making the deal now instead of holding on until March, as he did with Dylan Cease. I think striking now, right after the Red Sox got burned by losing Max Fried to the Yankees, probably got a little more out of the Red Sox system than he would have otherwise.
Yankees overpaid, right?
Yeah.
Overyeared and overpaid.
I think so. But
you think it was a reaction to, like, we've got to do something big and splashy because we didn't do the really big splashy thing?
Probably. And I think it's the price of poker these days in MLB.
I agree with you, and I think that's not good for the way that the Cubs are doing business now. That's just how I feel.
Understood.
Along with us talking with you about the Bears, like, and we're letting you cope. Like, we're curious. Why does this season hurt so bad? Angela is on the South Side. Hey, Angela, you're on Spiegel and Holmes. Why does it hurt so bad?
I'm so angry and hurt because it feels like what it feels like when you find out your family is stupid and dysfunctional and have damaged each other. Regarding things that you didn't know about, but now the secrets are coming out.
Oh, boy.
And therapy is not helping. And you just find out that they're stupid and dysfunctional and abusive.
Oh.
And it hurts. It just hurts.
Thanks.
Oh, they're stupid. Yeah, okay. All right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanksgiving must have left a mark on you. It seems a little too.
Angela, they hurt you bad, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry they hurt you that bad,
I'm so
Angela.
Sorry. I had no idea my family was this disastrous.
She's not wrong.
Why didn't you tell me about this?
She's not wrong.
Our texter, Yuri and Normal, said it feels like we ourselves were out of town stupid. Oh, that's
pretty good.
That's a terrible feeling.
Shout out to Angela. Mark is out in South Shore. Mark, why does it hurt so bad?
Oh, my God. I'm still laughing over Angela, man. Wait a minute. Hold on. But anyway, it's the way that the Bears lost. Come on, bro. What is the probability of you losing a game to a Hail Mary? You losing a game to a blocked field goal? Uh-huh. It's like we gave the Bears chances, okay? We live up to this. We give them this, they let us down. We give them another try, they let us down. It's gotten so bad, and this is why it really hurts. We've become the laughingstock of the NFL, a historical franchise that started the NFL. We're the laughingstock, bro. It's embarrassing. It is. It's embarrassing to be a Bears fan. I used to go everywhere, be proud showing my Bears jersey. Now, I'm afraid to show it because I know I might get into an argument. You know, because I'm trying to protect them, but you can't protect somebody that's not protecting themselves, bro.
Oh, man, that's such great calls here. So many good points in there. Just like loss after loss after loss that felt improbable.
Right.
I mean, the Hail Mary, the blocked field goal, and then getting one playoff with a timeout in your back pocket in 33 seconds.
And that's even after, like, we talk about, like, to me, people say the Hail Mary was the end. To me, the 53-yard touchdown in Arizona.
To end the first half.
That was the end. That was the end. And I'm telling you, like, sitting outside, I'm so glad that I picked that game to go to. Because sitting outside that locker room, and I thought Bears PR, like, they did an incredible job. Because they were like, yeah, it's about time that locker room opened up. And you guys need to get in there. And you get in there, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this is what's going on in here.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling you guys like, was it really that bad? I'm like, oh, yeah. It was really that bad.
Yeah.
It felt like the end. And then they kept upping it. Like the probability of all these things that we're talking about.
You couldn't write it. You literally could not write it.
Speaks the block field goal to lose the game, right? And then the next week, another block field goal.
Yeah, right away. And it all culminating on Thanksgiving with, like, the national broadcast saying that you botched it. The Bears botched this. And then you were the national laughingstock, and every family's Thanksgiving was laughing at the Bears, except for Angela's, where her family was revealing deep-seated dysfunction she did not know about.
Hey, they're like, man, the Seven Fishes episode of The Bear, Angela's family. Her mom's driving a car into the side of the house.
That's right. Jamie Lee Curtis is weeping over there.
It's that episode of Power when the one guy finds out that he's not the nephew, but he's actually the son.
Oh, God.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, I kind of want to just be in the corner at Angela's house at Christmas and just watch it all go down.
See, I kind of want to just give Angela a hug because she's clearly going through some stuff, and the Bears are not helping.
No, they're not.
And they're supposed to help.
Yeah, that's the whole idea.
West Loop and Brent. Brent, why does it hurt so bad?
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey, Brent.
It hurts so bad because everything was preventable. All offseason, everyone on the outside looking in knew we needed a new head coach to improve the offensive line and to improve the defensive line. And we did none of it. And now we're in the same position that we had with Fields and with Trubisky, where we've got a first-year quarterback going into year two with a new head coach, his most sacks, you know, in all the NFL, and still unable to rush the passer. And it's just the same cycle continuing, and it's just defeating.
So defeating, man. It's nice to know that we're all there together.
Yeah, that's kind of why I was hoping we could do this topic.
It's lovely. It really is Chicago, you know? When there's a foot of snow on the ground and it's 8 below with the wind chill, and you walk by somebody on your way to the bus stop, and your eyes meet just for a split second.
Give them the head nod.
You give them the head nod, and you're like, I feel you. I got you. We are here together, and we're both going to get through the day. I'll see you later. I'll see you tomorrow at this very same bus stop.
Speaks, I ever tell you the story about what it was like the day after the Cubs won the World Series on the South Side?
No.
So we were broadcasting from where Shane was having his drink over at Millennium Park. And so I knew it would be crazy, so I didn't drive down here. I was sitting in for Terry, I think, on the afternoon show with Dan. And so I took the train because the train lets you off right here. I'm walking down 63rd Street to the Metro. I see a White Sox fan because he's got on his cap, like, defiantly. Got on his
day
cap.
After the Cubs break the curse.
They break the curse, and this White Sox fan is walking towards me, and I just see him, and I'm like, and he's like, you know it.
Gave him the head nod.
He's like, you know it.
Uh-huh.
And we just went on about our business.
Yeah, you're going to have to be strong on a day like that.
Yes, you got to put your cap on and dare someone to say something about you wearing your cap.
That's an extra level of defiance right there.
Can I add another level to why it feels so bad with this Bears team?
Sure.
Because of what we did earlier in the show. You look up at the division.
Everybody's great.
Everyone's got 10 wins.
Yeah, every coach is going to get Coach of the Year votes. Two of the three quarterbacks are going to get MVP votes. Yeah, and everybody's making the playoffs except you. I'm glad we did this.
Can I take one more, Shane?
Here we go.
All right, which one? You pick. You tell me which way.
Let's go with Jason Quad Cities.
Okay. Jason, why does it hurt so bad?
Hey, man, first off, thoughts and prayers to Angela. I literally spit my soda across my car on that one. But, Speaks, I got to disagree with you. This has been written. The reason this feels so bad is because we've heard it before. The movie The Replacements and the speech that Keanu Reeves gives about quicksand, man. That Hail Mary at Washington, was quicksand, and they just got caught in it, and it swallowed the season. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to be spring training, man. I'm going to keep hope springs eternal. We're going to get this coaching hire right, because shit, it can't be worse. Excuse me. Sorry, I cussed.
Yeah, we're sorry that you cussed, too. But it's okay. Like, we understand.
He's feeling it.
We understand the reason. If we were all – I like that you felt like we were all sitting in somebody's living room. Just can't take it too far because we don't want to lose our license and our radio show. It's very important to us.
Good job, callers. Good job, listeners.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Folks in the mob, too. Folks who texted in. That's good stuff. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the White Sox. Let's hear from Chris Getz on all of this stuff. Don't go anywhere. Spiegel and Holmes here with you until 6 on The Score.
The White Sox, they're one of the key sports franchises in the city.
Made a lot of news today, did the White Sox. The Garrett Crochet trade is done. He goes to the Red Sox for an outfielder named Braden Montgomery and a catcher named Kyle Teal and two other prospects. Big, big deal. The talk of the winter meetings, at least one of the things. And here's Chris Getz, the White Sox boss, telling the media about the trade now that it's done.
It's never easy to have to make decisions like this. And, you know, Garrett, what he did this past season was nothing short of excellent. But you look at, you know, the long-term health of the organization and to inject the type of talent that we just did in this trade is really exciting for us.
How do you feel about the long-term future now as opposed to this time yesterday?
I feel a lot better. you know, I do. You know, we were focused on bringing in as much high-end talent that we could, and we were able to accomplish that. You know, you're not necessarily focused too much on proximity, but in this case, you know, they happen to be upper-level players, and Braden just getting started, but just coming out of college. And, you know, we want to do what's right for each player in regards to their development journey. But we feel like, you know, it's just a diversified group that's really going to help our improve our roster.
Some pretty good hires by Chris Getz this offseason. I like some of the stuff that organizationally they're doing, and that is a pretty good return for a guy that you shouldn't have to trade, but you had to. I know a lot of you Sox fans can't feel the positivity, but it is available if desired.
No, I'm not going to fall in love with prospects. And whether that's the Cubs or the White Sox, I'm not going to because we've seen so many of them go badly. The thing that I think is interesting is that this is the currency with which the White Sox have to play with is them trading away pieces because they're so far down that they have to do this and they know that they're an organization where they're not really going to be able to spend the type of money that would help expedite the process. So this is the way that it has to go for a while. Anything of value should be traded. Because there isn't a player young enough that's good enough on the White Sox that it makes sense to keep them for when this team supposedly is going to be good again.
There's a young catcher named Edgar Caro who came over from the Angels, who is at AAA. And of course, you've got Corey Lee as your catcher at the big league level. And how does Kyle Teal, the newest Red Sox acquisition, the catcher, fit into all of that?
Yeah, we feel like they could both be catchers for us at the major league level. And I speak to, you know, you've got a switch hitter in Edgar Caro that's really strong from the right side currently. And you've got Kyle Teal that's left-handed and has versatility in his background, too. So, you know, going back to just the goal, the catching position is just so valuable and such a hard position to fill, to have two guys like that and then a Corey Lee. You know, going back to talking about, you know, foundation of an organization, so many things start in the middle of the diamond and it begins at the catching position and how much they can impact the game with game planning and just directing traffic on a field. So to have strength there was really important to us. We were able to accomplish that. But then, you know, you get a Chase Mydroth that can play all three positions. He's been an offensive force throughout his minor league career. And to be able to get someone that just
had pretty much a full season at AAA. You know, he's knocking on the door. But we've got upper level talent in this return. I love the character of the players, and but most importantly, these are impactful major league pieces.
Where is Montgomery at in his recovery from his injury this morning?
Yeah, he's doing great. Obviously, you know, you get access to medicals, and you want to make sure you know, everything's good on that front. And our training staff and doctors were very confident. You know, he's rehabbing in Fort Myers, and you know, he's in a really good spot and expected to be full go in spring training.
Do you see him as a corner outfielder, or does he have the speed where you think about him at center at some point?
I mean, he's got history of playing, you know, all three. You know, you certainly want to see what it looks like in center field, but we also know that he's got some real offensive force in his skill set, so that fits in any of those positions. You know, we really do like the defense. We feel like that's a big part of his game. You know, he's got to get healthy. He seems to be on track there, and, you know, he'll get his first taste of professional baseball this upcoming season.
That's Braden Montgomery he's talking about right there. That's the guy I like the most of the four. I'm excited to see him.
Okay.
It's your second rebuild in 8 years.
If I can go to the ballpark in 3 years and they have a competitive team, I will be pleasantly surprised, but I will be there.
You will?
Yeah, of course.
And when your dad leans over and says, hey, who's this Braden Montgomery?
If my dad doesn't sound like that, okay. But yeah, I will say, Dad, I don't remember where we got him from. Probably the Crochet trade. That's going to be like anyone that's good in the next 10 years, probably Crochet
trade. Or the Cease trade. Yeah, maybe. Or the Robert trade.
Upcoming, I imagine.
I think so, too.
If anyone wants
that would
them.
Be such a bad move.
Y'all see that the Cincinnati Reds might get Luis Robert.
Just selling low on like what could have been your best all-around player in franchise history. Selling at the absolute lowest possible point.
But he dances on TikTok, Tanny. Don't need that distraction.
What?
I typed in my type on TikTok and it showed Luis Robert.
What if you think that a year from now it could be selling even lower on Luis Robert? What if you're afraid of that?
Oh, Lord. See, this is why I don't get excited.
That's a wrap.
That is a wrap.
Thank the Lord.
Now Shane can go and have some real fun.
I wish the Lord would take me now.
I think I'm going to go home. I'm tired.
I think it was the alcohol. That call by Angela.
It was just one drink. It was one whiskey ginger.
I know, but I'm saying, like, you add that to, you know, Angela talking about family trauma, generational trauma.
Yeah.
You're like, I might want to just go home.
I was picturing the movie Home for the Holidays. You did that with Holly Hunter and a young Robert Downey, Charles Durning. Oh, I love that movie. It's Angela's house on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Kind of grim.
Very grim. Thanks to our guests today, Jason Leisure, Adam Rittenberg. Just incredible stuff from both of those guys. We thank you too. Tanny, Shane, great job today, boys.
Troy Aikman tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, how about it? Wani and Troy Aikman together tomorrow?
I think that could be a lot of fun. Or is it Jay-Z? No one knows.
Not right now.
Not right now.
Too soon for that.
Just like TNT
right
last night?
Not right now, Shaq. Kenny.
Shaq walked off the set.
He walked off the set.
Ernie said he was going to go fix a broken wall.
Well, the TV, because the TV broke the TV.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
For my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying, thank you so much for the love and support that you show us. We will try to repay you in kind tomorrow at 2 on Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.